Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Fake the Nation, episode 386.
Hello, hello. This is Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about culture, and where we dive into the holiday season, recognizing that if you're a member of the Rockettes, you're in peak shape, you're limber, your legs are shooting up into the air, and you look fantastic. And if you are the rest of America, this marks your slow decline into a sugar-induced shame spiral. I am your host, Nagin Farsad, and as such, I am in the shame category, even though I don't technically celebrate Christmas. In fact, I hazard to guess that Muslims eat a disproportionate share of holiday cookies. There, I said it, the secret is out, and this is how we take over. But on today's show, we will talk about another type of personal ignominy called ugly time. We'll also talk about Instagrammable offices, a surprising debate between Ron DeSantis and Gavin Newsom, what? And the Lexapro sweatshirt. Do you have one? And what does it mean about the state of the mental health struggle? Today's panel is, today's panel is the Rockettes, but in podcast form, okay? The words that spew out of their mouths are limber. They fly into the air. They're at peak performance. That's what this panel is. Joining us for the very first time, and my God, I hope it is not the last, is co-host of the Defenders podcast. She's so delightful. We've never met, but I can already tell what a huge fan I already am of Gloria Riviera. Hey, Gloria.
Hey.
So excited to have you on the pod. And joining us again, you've heard this woman on the podcast before. She's so funny. She's also just like a comedian, an icon of the highest order. She's also co-host of the Defenders podcast because we're getting both members of that pod on this pod. It is an incredible crossover pod with the one and only Samantha Bee. Hey.
Hello. This has been, I'm just sitting back. I don't know about you, Gloria. I'm sitting back in awe of your introduction of
us. That was very impressive.
I just want you to keep going for the next 45 minutes.
Keep it rolling.
I don't want to be thought of as a Rockette. Yes.
But also, feel like that episode, you know, when they did Grey's Anatomy and like Private Practice or Station 19 crossover episodes. That's what this, where they're like, oh my God, are Gloria and Sam on Fake the Nation right now? We're losing our minds.
It's like, it's where two oceans meet and it's just like turbulent, but awesome.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
The thing about that reference, Sam, is that I would love to know which two oceans I can reference that actually meet in geography. I don't actually know.
I wish that I also knew. All I know is that when my husband went on a cruise to Antarctica and he was at the point where oceans meet, where all the oceans collide, I wish I knew what they were called.
Yes.
And then the waves were 60 feet high.
Oh, was it a celebrity cruise?
Oh, no. It was just a lot of science. People okay. and one actor. Anyway.
every quorum of scientists requires one actor unless they can't convene.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, let us get into it, folks, with topic number one. Okay, so this week the internet was subjected to a think piece about ugly time. What is ugly time, I hear you ask? According to Betches Magazine, it's the time you need to sit in your filth for the sake of your own mental health. And look, there's more layers to it than that. But first, I wanted to ask the two of you, did the term resonate with you? It's very lady-centered. So I wonder, has ugly time been a part of your life?
Oh, is there anyone who doesn't have ugly time in their life. You have to have it. I've never had a name for it, though. I don't know about you, Gloria. I've never given it a moniker.
No. To sit in your own filth? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Is that what we're doing?
Yes. That was a formal definition that was offered.
Okay. Aww. Yeah. I feel like that's, you know, that's a part of every day, really. But it's the acceptance of where you are that allows you to move through it.
Yes. This is why we have locks on bathroom doors, because no one wants anyone to walk in when you're clipping your toenails. Like, that's just like, that's you time. That's for you and you alone.
Yeah.
And I don't care to be seen. And the thing is
about clipping your toenails in particular is, like, I feel like you need a fully padded sound booth, because it's like the sound of it that's actually more traumatizing than the actual nail flying in the air.
Horrible. As I'm talking, and I love Gloria, but I don't know that we've explored this side of myself. Like, I can go, I'm going to go there with you right now, because I definitely, when I do that, and you have to clip them. You have to. Are you a tree sloth? You have to. And so, but I like to do it nude after shower, and I like to do it on the floor.
Oh my God.
So I have to put a mat down, and I need privacy. I need to be able to sit. God. I need to be alone myself, for my own pride. If anyone walked in on me, I don't know that my family would still love me.
You know, so, Sam, I'm going to say our strategies are not dissimilar. So I feel like we've waded into a very cozy place of connection here. But I will do you one better, which is with three children. Mm. I have had the lovely experience of realizing I need to cut their nails. Like, that's you don't come out of the womb knowing how to cut your own nails. And there have been some alarming moments in my children's bathroom where I'm like, oh my God, you need to cut your nails.
You're like, are you?
Oh God, you are a tree sloth.
Yeah, I just assumed that had that same experience where I was like, don't you want to be a groomed person? Like, why have you let this? Right. Why are you coming to me now? Are you Nosferatu? Like, you needed to come to me 3 weeks ago.
Right.
We needed
right.
to have this conversation. Right.
Evolutionarily, nails should have been self-trimming. I think we can all agree with that.
I think they were in the womb, but something went awry.
No, can I tell you guys of like a new frontier of trimming that I have had to experience in my life? And this is I feel like we've broken a lot of news here today, and we're gonna continue the trend. I have had to, since I had a child about 5 years ago, there's been like an explosion of hair growth. No, look, I'm a Middle Eastern person. Hair growth is a part of my life. I am essentially like part gorilla, and there's hair in much of just every, you know, just on what you see on Zoom, that's freshly shaven. Everything else is full. I can braid every aspect of my body. Now, the thing that has really gotten out of control is that my eyebrows have just sprouted into the heavens. And my ugly time consists of trimming eyebrow hairs.
Trimming.
Yeah.
Not
like
you can't
like
pluck
an 85-year-old man.
Oh
yes.
My God. Like Jerry Seinfeld's dad.
Yes.
He's just like trying to make it straight.
Yes.
And it's also very important to get it right, or it messes up your whole face.
Yes. Yeah. No, exactly. It's very front and center. At least toenails, you know, get hidden in the the shoes. You know,
they do. Oh my goodness. This is, that's a tough one. Do they grow? And they grow probably upward too.
And the funny thing is, they grow upward. Some of them are curly.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I love this so much. God. Do you? So do you hide away? Do you hide away? Like in an attic or a belfry?
Or naked on your bathroom floor, maybe? I don't know. With a mirror?
we're building a belfry in my Manhattan apartment so that I can experience the shame in the appropriate setting. Mm-hmm. But it is definitely one of those things that I don't want my husband to see. This reminds me of that. There's like a scene. I want to say it was like one of the first scenes of Marvelous Miss Maisel, where she's in bed and she wakes up next to her husband. I think they've been married already for a long time in this scene. And she wakes up before him, goes to the bathroom, puts on a full face of makeup, comes back into bed. And then he wakes up and then she's like, oh, I just woke up, like, and looking beautiful. This is, I feel, this is my sort of Marvelous Miss Maisel putting on whatever the term is, arrears. That doesn't make sense. Putting on a face moment because I don't want my husband to know about the clipping of eyebrow hairs.
Well, I'm sure he knows, but I do believe that some secrets are worth keeping. Like I've been married now for, I don't know what year it is or how, like 22 years, something like that. Long time.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And we are a bathroom closed, we're a door closed family.
Yeah,
we just
same
think
here.
That some mysteries are worth keeping alive. Just some.
Yes, yes.
We're
yes.
all going to get, we're all evolving toward our perfect selves, but it's a long journey. And I don't really want to know, like, I appreciate that he doesn't make me shave the back of his neck.
Oh my God.
To.
No.
I definitely would.
Yeah. yeah.
And yeah, it's probably coming for you in the decades ahead.
It's all coming to us. We're all going to be
shaving each other's necks.
Shaving each other's necks. Yeah. But we could keep it going. We could keep the smallest illusions possible for a little while. Nobody's running to put on. Nobody's running in our household to put makeup on before we wake up. However, that's
Gloria, final thoughts on ugly time and the closing of bathroom doors.
Well, I mean, when I was listening to you guys talk about the closing of bathroom doors, I was thinking about what I hear even with the bathroom door closed that alarms me. And and I am a real, in our bathroom, we actually have two doors. And I'm like, you need to close both doors because I'm in a different room. and then my son, who's 15 and on another floor, I'm like, who goes in the bathroom and doesn't close the door? Close the door. It's just, it's better for the humanity of our home.
I agree. I 100% agree. And I want to put a pitch out there to people who make these homes is the soundproofing of certain rooms. Again, I just want to say that soundproofing is like a, you know, we need to embrace that art. Yes. Now, let's take a quick break from all of the toenail clipping to hear from our sponsors who probably clip their own toenails in a belfry.
So.
And when we come back, we'll continue talking. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Folks, I feel like I've mentioned this before, but I tried other services that I was displeased with. And then a neighbor of mine was trying Factor. I had pulled them aside in the hallway and I was like, what are you feeling about this Factor? And they were like, it is delicious. You should definitely do it. So then me and my husband did it and we loved it. They are chef-prepared meals that arrive to your door, and then in 2 minutes, you could be eating them. Like, it's so simple, and they're actually delicious. And for people like me who just sometimes, my schedule can be so maniacal between traveling in different cities and, you know, doing stand-up gigs. It's like I just don't have a typical schedule where I can plan, set aside time for cooking and all that stuff. So something like Factor really helps for me. The other thing thing that I love to do is try not to eat carbs. So they have a keto option, which is fantastic. It's super delicious. They use premium ingredients. You can get stuff with like filet mignon and shrimp and truffle butter and broccolini and asparagus, right? Like real ingredients. They're no fuss, no mess meals. They eliminate the hassle of having to prep. They're tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility. You can pause or reschedule. I've actually done that. I've both paused and rescheduled. Factor is basically your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long, and look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should head to factormeals.com/fakethenation50 and use the code fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code fakethenation50 at factormeals.com/fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. I am the type of person that has subscribed to things and I have forgotten about those things. I have paid twice for a children's educational app, and I didn't know that I was paying twice for several months. Until that is, I discovered Rocket Money, and because I use Rocket Money, it just showed up all these things. The thing that I was paying twice for that made me incredibly angry, thank God Rocket Money ended that for me. It also cancels the subscription for you, so you don't have to like go through the hassle of going to that site and figuring out how to cancel. They actually make canceling very difficult. I don't know if any of you have had the experience, but I have been on a roundabout 8-exit nightmare trying to unsubscribe to something before. Rocket Money eliminates that hassle. It also alerts you to an increase in subscription price. And this is something Rocket Money did for me. It negotiates a lower price for something you already subscribed to. So like for my cable bill, it got me a lower price. And I was very happy about that. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about, which makes me feel better because I'm one of them. But it makes me feel terrible because what are we doing? Losing that money. I don't want to waste that money. And I know you don't want to waste that money. If you struggle with these kinds of purchases, if you struggle with finances in general, Rocket Money will help you with the budgeting, help you track your expenses, help you, like I said, cancel those unwanted subscriptions. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending. It helps you lower your bills so you can get back to saving. I mean, me and my husband have been on the warpath, and Rocket Money has been a really big part of that. It has over 5 million users with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. The average member has saved up to $740 a year using the app's features, which is, I mean, that tracks for me. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions. Go to rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Save the money at rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. And we are back, and we're ready for topic number two. Okay, we're going to get into the weird medley of American life in a segment we call the political hodgepodge. A strange thing happened last week. GOP presidential candidate and governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, and California governor Gavin Newsom faced off in a debate whose entire raison d'être was rather mystifying to me. Mystifying in part because Newsom isn't running for president and DeSantis hasn't won a primary. Probably will not win a primary. Nevertheless, they had a debate on Fox News called the Great Red State versus Blue State Debate. And what's weirder, it was moderated by the least neutral dickhead of Fox News, Sean Hannity. What did you make of the even why did this happen?
I'm so confused. Yes. I mean, I don't know why. I don't know why we have to. It was like, for me, it was like, why don't we just watch Circus of the Stars? Why don't we watch like American Gladiators, but like uncool edition? It's like pointless theater. Theater? I don't know.
Yeah. I'm sitting here in Washington, D.C., and just hearing you refer to Sean Hannity as a dickhead just made me laugh so much. Having grown up in network news, you know, there were a lot of things that we weren't really encouraged or even allowed to do. And one of them was calling another colleague a dickhead. So I appreciate that moment.
breaking boundaries here at Faith the Nation. That's what I do every day.
Yeah. You know, listen, what do I make of it? I think that a lot of times there are decisions made for eyeballs, and this was one of them. And I don't know how justified that was because I'm not sure any of these people really draw the eyeballs that Fox desperately needs right now. The moment that I had in my own home last week was when my husband came home and was talking about how they had to cover George Santos and then told me that he was going to be on Dancing with the Stars. And I thought he was joking. And actually, I mean, if he's out there and listening, are you joking? Were you joking?
Wait,
I need to Google
is
that.
George Santos going to be on Dancing with the Stars?
I mean, according to a newsman that I trust and admire and lives in my home, the answer is yes, but he might be effing with me. I'm not sure.
No, he's definitely, like, definitely going to be on Dancing with the Stars, or that offer is has to be coming because he's the perfect candidate for it. And it's so funny that you said that because literally when he got cast out, I was like, oh, he'll do Dancing with the Stars next. Like now he's just going to be on like, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. And Naked and Afraid and like Dancing with the Stars, like all of those, he's going to do those rounds because now he just believes that he's popular.
Yeah. And when he goes on Dancing with the Stars, he'll be like, yes. And I'm and he'll reference some amazing, he'll be like, well, I am Fred Astaire. Like
Totally. He's going to talk about his history of dance. Mm-hmm. He's also going to be maybe in prison is the other place where he'll be is, you know.
That's preferable to me.
Well, there could be really a prison edition of Dancing with the Stars.
Which I would actually, I think that would do some ratings right there.
I don't
there.
Really want to like see him anymore ever. So I wouldn't plan to watch that season of the, or as long as he was on it, because I don't feel like we need to keep rewarding awful people with a tour through our reality shows and like, a redemption tour through our eyeballs. And they just get to like skate away and do whatever. Terrible.
Well,
please vanish.
Can I ask you a question, Sam, on this note? Mm-hmm. I was actually going to bring up that George Santos was expelled. So for listeners, last week, we didn't know if he was going to be expelled. And this week, we do know that he was, in fact, expelled. I took this as a sign that the GOP is trying to, you know, cut off the rotting part of its leg to save the rest of its body. It is a sign that they're maybe tired of, you know, having members that are just constantly facing criminal charges. And this is maybe the beginning. I don't know what it did. I was rather hopeful. What did you think?
I want to be as optimistic about the world as you are in this moment. I think it's everything that is done is very self-serving. And there was some calculation made that it would hurt their candidates moving forward. And it's just like, it's like a ratio game. It's a numbers game. Like once, I just don't think there's any hope of redemption or doing the right thing is just not really in the vocabulary of politics. It's really more driven by maintaining power at all costs. And if his existence was a threat to that, then he needed to go. But it's just a constant calculation. And so cutting him out, excising him was very important for reasons we may never really truly understand. But I don't believe like that it was representative. I'm so sorry. I don't believe that it's representative of any kind of
Gloria,
anything good.
Are you dead inside the way that Sam appears to be?
I am dead inside.
Well, actually, we had this moment during the making of the podcast where something happened with one character that I received as, you know, with enthusiasm, right? There was a slight mindset shift. And I was so excited to hear what Sam thought. And Sam was like, womp, womp, not impressed.
I'm sorry, Gloria.
And I was like, oh. But it led to a really interesting conversation in which we were talking about, and you can apply it to this instance, you know, is one slight move enough? And in so many different ways in this country, it is and it isn't.
Yeah, look how long Steve King held office. I mean, come on. Nobody's out there trying to do the right thing.
I mean,
In this country, we have to be forced to do the right thing. We will not wear seatbelts until you make it a law. That's it. That's the way it works here. And I love it here. And that's the way it is.
I mean, it's also incremental, right? Like, the change is incremental. So this George Santos moment is very much incremental. And going back to the debates that seem to just happen for, again, mystifying reasons, one of the things that Gavin Newsom was willing to do was to go on air against Ron DeSantis and his buddy Sean Hannity moderating so that conservative audiences could hear a positive message about Biden. It's not a lot. But it's incremental. It is a something. It's a little tiny chink in the armor, which maybe does a thing. I don't know. You know what I mean? Until things really turn around.
Oh my God, I'm such a cynical person. I'm so cynical. I'm just in awe. I'm like, this is a very calculated move by Gavin Newsom as well, who wants to be thought of as the alternative. If something goes astray, if something goes awry, he just wants to be the name on everybody's lips.
Sure.
Everybody's lips.
And he definitely is also probably planning some sort of a run in the future. You know what I mean? Oh. So it is a ploy, you know, but both things can be true, that he could get something out of it. And that there could be some sort of good to, like, the people of Fox News hearing one positive thing about Biden, you know, and also to watch Ron DeSantis be deflated in the ways that he was. Like, there were some really fun moments where, like, Gavin said something like, well, in a few weeks, Joe Biden is going to be our nominee. And this guy basically in a matter of weeks will be endorsing Donald Trump. Like, he deflated Ron DeSantis at many turns. And it was kind of a fun watch.
I know that it's fun watching Ron DeSantis try to smile. And I know we've all talked about this, but it continues to be one of the most fun visuals.
It is.
That I get to witness. I'm just like, it's because the more you tell someone to relax and have fun, the more I just feel that I watch him go up his own. I watch him go inside his own sphincter. Like, everybody's just like, oh my God, last words they say to him before he goes out, they're like, just have fun with it. Just have fun with it. And you just, his entire body, every droplet of moisture, he's compressed in a way that is truly entertaining to me.
Oh, it's so fun. Here's another piece of news. I just want to hear your take on it. Again, this is one of those, the cynics versus the optimists will have a different take, and I'm curious to hear. So right now there's the UN, United Nations Climate Change Conference, I think is just wrapping up. It's called COP28. I don't know where the 28 comes from. I meant to look it up. I don't understand. Doesn't matter. Many of the world's biggest oil companies announced at the COP28 summit that they would slash methane emissions from their wells and drilling by more than 80% by 2030. And that's actually a really big deal because methane is 80 times as potent as carbon dioxide within 20 years after its release. So it, like, lingers, it sucks, whatever. And this, having the methane emissions, could really slow the rate of global warming by more than 25% and start a path to prevent 0.5 degrees of Celsius warming by 2100. Now, if you'll note, I mentioned that it's the oil producers that are making this commitment. So I can imagine there's some, sure you want to cut emissions. Sam, what do you think?
Oh, you know what I think. I'm like, well, great. Please do that. And so you've known for a really long time that you needed to do that. But thanks. We'll wait. We'll wait 6 years for you to do
right,
that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming along to the party so reluctantly, like literally having to globally
kicking
and screaming, having to be pulled into the present and the future. So thank you. Okay. Oh, great.
Gloria, what do you think?
I'm thinking that in 2100, when I'm taking a deep breath of fresh angel air up above, I'll still be conflicted about whether I should say thanks, everyone.
Yeah. It's hard to be like, thanks so much. Thank you.
Yeah.
This is one of those things that's so hard because we need other people. Like the three of us, as powerful as we are in this mm-hmm. crossover pod.
Yeah.
We are unfortunately not as powerful as nations in being able to solve this. So this is one of those things where it's like we need nations to do the job. Like we, mm-hmm. it can't just be, you know, the three of us composting, which I do.
You know? Me too. I love it. We're not going to reverse. We're not going to reverse climate change.
We're not going to reverse climate change. Like literally these guys need to do the thing and it'll have a huge impact. These oil producing companies. And I've always said, I don't know why they don't want to follow the trend. Fashion designers, if they don't follow trends and changing ideas and attitudes, we'd all still be wearing culottes or whatever. We don't wear those anymore because fashion designers know that they have to follow changing ideas. And I don't understand why that hasn't, the same isn't true for the fossil fuel industry. The trend is solar panels, you guys. You know what I mean?
Well, because of the money, right? So fashion designers know that if they design something cool and hip, they will still be able to sell it and get money in their pockets. And the fossil fuel industry, it's all about, I mean, they're not going to change if someone's willing to come play poker with them under the same rules that have existed for years and years. So they will. And yes, solar energy has struggled. You know, it's not like we're seeing it, you know, in New York City on new skyscrapers, right?
It's
another one of those incremental industries. I think it's like comparing apples and oranges, right? Like it's just fashion is fashion because they still get money for what they put out there, but the fossil fuel industry does not.
Yeah. Okay, there has to be some profit motive in it for them to do anything.
Yeah.
And then the final piece of news from this week is that Sandra Day O'Connor died. She was the first female justice of the Supreme Court. And one of the things, this is, I don't know if this is gauche to say, I have fond memories of her, but I also, one of the fondest things I have to say about her is that she died not on the bench, in her 90s. Yeah. She retired at a reasonable age. And that I feel like is one of her like legacies. What do you think?
And I read the most beautiful. Did you read this story about her husband, one of the reasons she retired, stepped away was to care for her husband who was in memory care. Mm. And while he was in a facility, he met another woman and she continued to visit him every day and was so joyful that he had found another, because people, you know, often live second or third lives with Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she was so supportive of it and just wanted to see him in a place of joy and happiness, like with his new partner.
Oh, I love that. Care home.
Great. It's a That's beautiful. So great.
I think that really speaks to such a phenomenal character. My heart melted when I read that story. Oh, I thought,
I have to go read that. I love that.
Yes.
I love that.
It's beautiful.
I mean, what that says to me is that it's not about her in a way at that moment, right? It's fully selfless and being happy for someone to find joy without her in his mind. That's a really beautiful story.
Yes. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, that's really lovely. Okay, folks, let's move on from all of this to topic number three. So we read a piece in Slate by Shannon Pallas called Honestly, I Can't Stand This Lexapro Sweatshirt. And in it, she describes coming across an $80 sweatshirt with the word Lexapro emblazoned across the chest. And it was sold out. This was a very popular sweatshirt. And maybe in your shopping, you've seen the shirt Depressed But Make It Hot, or at Eileen Kelly, the cashmere crew neck, It's Okay to Feel Blue. This is actually a big mental health trend, is this mental health merch. What do you think of the trend in general? And then we could kind of get into the argument made in the piece.
It's not a trend that I love. It's not something I would participate in personally. I don't feel like commodifying, you know, like I don't know. I mean, thousands find it hilarious. For me, I don't think it's not like sad terrain. I think people should talk about their mental health, and I think people should, you know, use every tool in the toolbox to support themselves. But I don't know. For me, it's just not like a super casual. It's not like a fun thing on a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to be glib about it. For some reason, something inside me is turning me away from the glibness.
Yeah, I think that word glib is a really good one to use here, because I think that for so many people, it's not a joke. It's not something to put on a sweatshirt. It's a serious issue. And I think it reminds me of, you know, the way that you would go by a shop and you'd see a yoga sweatshirt that said namaste from the bar, you know, the same day that we use alcohol as sort of a joke and combine it for commodity's sake and for capitalism's sake with wellness. And, you know, that conversation has shifted. And I guess, I don't know, I sort of want to be in that meeting where they're like, and we're going to put Lexapro on a hoodie. And who responded with like, good idea. I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't buy it. And I love Lexapro and have for years.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that, you know, she talks about is that the sort of like cutification of mental health into these, you know, these statement tees. She wonders if it helps anybody. Like, what does it actually help?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it to me is like a wine meme. I'm like, I don't share those either. I don't have like a sign in my kitchen that's like, anytime is wine. I don't even know what wine. I don't even know what any of the good wine memes are. I just don't have them like on a sign and or on a refrigerator magnet. I'm not like,
so or like it's a kitchen towel.
A kitchen towel. Like, it's not part of my comedy vernacular, so I think it's like pretty natural that I'm not like getting my kids Lexapro sweatshirts for Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose the argument is to normalize it and to make it okay, but does it really do that? And first of all, you're not actually, there's a difference between alcohol and, you know, any kind of drug that helps you with your serotonin levels. You know, you can't just walk into a bar and order, you know, 20 milligrams of Lexapro and walk out with it. It's a more serious endeavor. And you know, there are many, and I'm in this camp, that think that you should be talking to someone who can prescribe it, right? So I just, I don't see, you know, the commodification of anything in that category as equal. You know, I just...
Right. I
don't.
Yeah. No, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And I also think, you know, one of the points that the piece brings up, which I feel, which is what rings the most true to me, is that if you're so identifying so heavily with like a thing like Lexapro or whatever, like what you do for your mental health is like you take a thing, it kind of overly identifies you with the problem and might contribute to keeping you stuck in that problem, you know, as opposed to like, these are tools we're supposed to kind of use for a time and hopefully not need them forever. You know what I mean? And maybe you do need them forever, and I'm not shaming that at all. But the idea isn't to just be like a cheerleader for that thing forever. You know what I mean? And and this kind of merch sort of suggests that a little bit. And again, and not like, again, and I'm not about shame or anything. Like anyone, I feel like it's great. People talk about their healthcare struggle and all that stuff. The funny thing is, I wonder, do you feel like we're a little bit over the hump of like, quote, sharing our stories on mental health? Because I feel like it's sort of destigmatized. I don't know anyone who stops themselves from sharing about their mental health struggle. Like, it feels like culturally, well, that's what we do. It's everywhere.
I do think, like, no shame on anybody's journey. I do feel like the language of mental health and wellness is so, we're very saturated with it. I think it's a really good thing. Feels very normalized. I personally wouldn't buy merch on the topic. I guess it would have to be like a lot funnier. I don't know. But I do think, you know, I do think there's, you know, sometimes when my kids are just having normal everyday struggles with homework, they start to drop into the language of mental health. And I'm like, I think you just I think this is a normal level of anxiety about your homework. Like, I think this you need to just cool it. Like, let's see if this is an ongoing issue or if you just really stressed out today. Like, it is sort of blurring. It's blurring the lines a little bit. I don't know. I don't really have a studied opinion on this. I just wouldn't buy one of the sweatshirts for myself, I think.
Yeah. I have a t-shirt that says, I like coffee and maybe three people. And at first I thought it sort of stalked me on Instagram during COVID.
Oh my God, I love that.
And I laughed. I thought it was funny, but I'm just thinking about it in this context. And it's like, you know, I like Lexapro and three people. Like, that wouldn't make me laugh as much. Yeah. You know, I'm not.
Right.
I think, you know, the glib identification falls under the same category as we're making it less serious than it really is. And mm-hmm. And you can take away, I mean, you know, God, I mean, one of my kids very soon will be like, Mom, I think I might need to talk to someone about this or that. And we have a family therapist and I can't paint my own toenails. So of course I support anyone doing what they need to do to feel good about themselves. But I just think it takes it a step too far and makes fun of something that's not funny for a lot of people.
Right? Yeah, it's interesting because like Selena Gomez talked a lot about her mental health stuff, and she had a mental health kind of documentary, and she also though has Stay Vulnerable Melting Blush or lip balms in shades like Empathy or Support. And then it feels like, okay, so you did the serious thing where you talked about your mental health or whatever, but now you're sort of like selling adjacent product. That's where things feel wee bit gross. You know what I mean?
You know, I just bought myself a long sleeve t-shirt with The Exorcist on it. Does this count? This is really good for my mental health. Every time I look in the mirror, I laugh. Every time.
So funny.
It's fantastic.
It's funny. I was walking down the street. I was waiting in line. No, I was waiting in line at this bakery the other day, and there's these two teenage girls standing in front of me. They must have been juniors in high school because they were talking about their college essays, or like they were like seniors in high school. And this one girl's like, oh, I don't know what to write or whatever. And this other, her friend was just like, dude, you just have to trauma dump. And I was like, oh yes. My God. Like just, you know, standing in line at this bakery. And I was like, by the way, Manhattan teenagers, like who are like, I mean, they didn't strike me as people that have had it particularly rough. You know what I mean? And I was like, what are we going to, in what trauma are we going to invent? You know what I mean? So there's part of this sweatshirt thing is a little bit of like, it's trendy to have pain. And I want to go back to, it's trendy to be like, actually my childhood was pretty good. You know what I mean? Or like, it's just like not everything. It's like, it doesn't have to be.
Yeah. Like can we go back suffering. To like, can we go back to gratitude? I liked talking about gratitude stuff. I found that much more. That was much more delightful. Delightful.
Listen, if Taylor Swift and Selena Gomez show up on stage with a, you know, Lexapro sweatshirts, you know, that'll be a very alarming moment. Right. I don't think we need to go there.
Agreed. Listeners, what do you think of this Lexapro sweatshirt trend? I'm dying to hear your thoughts. Hit me up on all of the social media platforms, which for mental health reasons you should avoid. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the show. And what a show it was. Oh. How fun are you guys?
So fun. I had such a good time.
If people are not already like just driven to subscribe to The Defenders, this episode will have done the job. I'm sure of it. But what I would really like is for the people of Fake the Nation to know specifically where to follow you and all the things that you do. Sam B, where do they do that?
I'm on Instagram and all the places. I have the podcast, The Defenders, which you can follow through Lemonada Media. You can find it wherever you find your podcasts. I also have another podcast called Choice Words. Please choose that one as well. Make a good choice.
Guys, two podcasts for you to listen to. Go and subscribe. And Gloria Riviere, where do they find you?
Well, there are more than two. First of all, Choice Words is so good. You have to go listen to it right now. I am also the host of No One Is Coming to Save Us, which is a podcast about childcare or the lack thereof in the U.S. And I'm on all the social places too, so come find me.
Folks, find them and all the things they do. And as for me, you know where to find me on all my places. And just Just to let you know, I will be guest hosting Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on Thursday, December 7th in Chicago. So if you are in Chicago, come see me, guest host that show. And then otherwise, you will listen to the broadcast, hopefully, over the weekend when it drops. It's going to be a really fun show. And I just found out about the guests. So I'm just I'm very excited for this week's show in Chicago.
Yeah, it's so exciting. I wish I was in Chicago.
I know. Yes. And I want to thank the wonderful people who make this show happen. That's our wonderful producer, Andrew McGuire. Everyone at HeadGum. Thanks to Gabi Alter for our fantastic theme music. If you have any questions or thoughts, you can email us at fakethenationpodcast@gmail.com. And otherwise, we will be back in your earballs next week.
That was a HeadGum podcast.